Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy. Tellier Desjardins, Part 8, Part 9. Yeah, Part 9. And I'm your host, Gwydion, for today. And this is a little pink monkey. Open wide, little monkey. Come on, eat it. Eat it. Ah, Gnostic heretic. Would you like one? Open wide. Sorry. I don't know. Cheers. Coffee. All right. I guess I'll get to the reading. Picking up right where we left off last time. Okay. The passivity, so this is part two, section two of part two. Sorry. The passivities of growth and the two hands of God. Growth seems so natural to us that we do not, as a matter of fact, pause to separate from our action the forces which nourish that action or the circumstances which favor its success. And yet, quid habes quod non acceptit? Parentheses, what dost thou possess that thou hast not previously received? End parentheses. I am glad that they provided an English translation of that Latin, because sometimes they don't. I do find it a little odd that they chose the KJV, the King James Version of English, to translate the Latin into. But anyway, moving along. And note that that was a translator's choice, not Pierre Tellier Desjardins, because he was writing in French and Latin. Latin being almost exactly the same as French, so... never mind. Okay. We undergo life as much as we undergo death, if not more. Maybe. I mean... are we wonky? No. No, we're okay. All right. By the way, that just reminded me of a quote from the movie we watched yesterday.
Shō という時、shō より他にものはなく、滅という時、滅の他にものはなし。
Yes. So that was Master Dōgen in the movie reaction that Pymander did yesterday. Maybe you want to check that out. I don't know. Okay. We must try to penetrate our most secret self. Sounds like something Carl Jung would try to do. Anyway. And examine our being from all sides. Let us try, patiently, to perceive the ocean of forces to which we are subjected and in which our growth is, as it were, steeped. This is a salutary exercise for the depth and universality of our dependence on so much altogether outside our control, all go to make up the embracing intimacy of our communion with the world to which we belong. Three dots. Okay. And so, for the first time in my life, perhaps, parentheses, although I am supposed to meditate every day, end parentheses, aren't you Catholic? What? Maybe the Jesuits are, this was 1950s Jesuits. They meditate different? Maybe they use the word differently. Huh? I don't know. I'm ignorant about that. I took the lamp and heaving the zone, leaving the zone of everyday occupations and relationships where everything seems clear, I went down into my inmost self, to the deep abyss, whence I feel dimly that my power of action emanates. But as I moved further and further away from the conventional certainties by which social life is superficially illuminated, I became aware that I was losing contact with myself. At each step, it sounds so much like Carl Jung. At each step of the descent, a new person was disclosed within me, of whose name I was no longer sure, and who no longer obeyed me. And when I had to stop my exploration because the path faded from beneath my steps, I found a bottomless abyss at my feet. And out of it came, arising I know not from where, the current which I dare to call my life. What science will ever be able to reveal to man the origin, nature, and character of that conscious power to will and to love, which constitutes his life? It is certainly not our effort, nor the effort of anyone around us, which set that current in motion. And it is certainly not our anxious care, nor that of any friend of ours, which prevents its ebb or controls its turbulence. We can, of course, trace back through generations some of the antecedents of the torrent which bears us along, and we can, by means of certain moral and physical disciplines and stimulants, regularize or enlarge the aperture through which the torrent is released onto us. But neither that geography nor those artifices help us in theory or in practice to harness the sources of life. Myself is given to me far more than it is formed by me. Man, scripture says, cannot add a cubit to his stature. Still less, there was that one sumo wrestler that didn't quite meet the height requirement, so he got a silicone implant put in the top of his head, the same kind that, you know, ladies get for their breasts. And so he has this like bump, this like extended top of his head, like a little bit of a cone head, and was just barely able to make it, and became a sumo wrestler in Japan. So, I don't know. Seems outdated. It's not a cubit, but it's a couple of inches. Never mind. Okay. Still less can he add a unit to the potential of his love or accelerate by another unit the fundamental rhythm which regulates the ripening of his mind and heart. In the last resort, the profound life, the fontal life, the newborn life, escape our grasp entirely. Stirred by my discovery, I then wanted to return to the light of day and forget the disturbing enigma in the comfortable surroundings of familiar things. to begin living again at the surface without imprudently plumbing the depths of the abyss. But then, beneath this very spectacle of the turmoil of life, there reappeared before my newly opened eyes the unknown that I wanted to escape. This time, Editor Edward, I know it's like we're already like 10 minutes into this, but could you play some music? Dealer's choice, your choice. I leave it entirely up to you. You decide in your time and with your whatever mind. Time and mind. This time, it was not hiding at the bottom of an abyss. It was disguised its presence in the innumerable strands which form the web of chance, the very stuff of which the universe and my own small individuality are woven. Yet it was the same mystery without a doubt. I recognized it. Our mind is disturbed when we try to plumb the depth of the world beneath us, but it reels still more when we try to number the favorable chances which must coincide at every moment if the least of living things is to survive and to succeed in its enterprises. No editing. After the consciousness of being something other and something greater than myself, a second thing made me dizzy, namely the supreme improbability, the tremendous unlikelihood of finding myself existing in the heart of a world that has survived and succeeded in being a world. Oh, shoot, I wish I could remember what that thing is called. If the conditions for something are very specific, then you will only find that thing in the place where those conditions are. So, well, the balance of all the elements and the perfect temperature and the Goldilocks zone of something like the planet Earth. It's like, wow, what are the chances? 100%. You would not find yourself on Mars or Mercury or in the vast space between galaxies. It would never happen. The only possible place that you would open your eyes and blink and go, ooh, is a place like the Earth. So it's not unlikely at all. I mean, the likelihood of the Earth, well, given the sheer vastness of the cosmic dust whirling, is fairly damn likely. And the likelihood of life evolving somewhere in the universe is fairly damn likely. And if you're among the life forms looking at it, then the likelihood of you being in one of those places is more than likely. It's 100%. So it's all in how you look at it. I mean, I know what he's saying. I know what he means by that. It's like, oh, when I fathom the thou hast with thine fingers and the stars, and what is man that thou carest about him? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, okay. That's nice. But factually speaking, sorry, I'm talking too much. At that moment, as anyone else will find, who cares to make this same interior experiment? I felt the distress characteristic to a particle adrift in the universe, the distress which makes human wills founder daily under the crushing number of living things and of stars. And if something saved me, it was hearing the voice of the gospel, guaranteed by divine success, speaking to me from the depths of the night. Ego sum, something in italics and Latin, noli timere, it is I, be not afraid, it's only me. Don't be afraid of what you can't see. It's only me. Anyway, yes, oh God, I believe it. And I believe it all the more willingly, because it is not only a question of my being consoled, but of my being completed. It is you who are at the origin of the of the impulse. And at the end of that continuing pull, which pull and which impulse are we talking about here? No, we're not talking about that impulse or that pull. Surely, that would be... Sorry. Which all of my life long I can do no other than follow or favor the first impulse and its developments. And it is you who vivify for me with your omnipresence, even more than my spirit vivifies the matter which it animates. The myriad influences of which I am the constant object, in the life which wells up in me and in the matter which sustains me, I find much more than your gifts. It is you yourself whom I find, you who makes me participate in your being, you who molds me. Truly, in the ruling and in the first disciplining of my living strength, in the continually beneficent play of secondary causes, I touch as near as possible the two faces of your creative action, and I encounter and kiss your two marvelous hands, the one which holds us so firmly that it is merged in us with the sources of life, and the other whose embrace is so wide that at its slightest pressure, all the springs of the universe respond harmoniously together. The springs, I mean like fountains, if it touches just slightly, they all go whoosh. Maybe it is what I thought it was talking about. At least it's a strong metaphor. The divine hand job metaphor. No, but really, it's beautiful. By their very nature, these blessed passivities, which are for me the will to be, the wish to be thus and thus, and by chance of fulfilling myself according to my desire, are all charged with your influence, an influence which will shortly appear more distinctly to me as the organizing energy of the mystical body, in order to communicate with you in them in a fontal communion. A communion in the sources of life. How much longer are these italics? I have to use these because I can't read the italics with the naked eye. Okay, just another page or so. The sources of life, I have only to recognize you in them and to ask you to be ever more present in them. O God, whose call precedes the very first of our movements, grant me the desire to desire being. Where is this in the gospel? It seems like he's writing it, but he's talking about hearing the voice from the gospel. Yes, that by means of that divine thirst, which is your gift, the access to the great waters may open wide within me. Do not deprive me of the sacred taste for being, that primordial energy, that very first of our points of rest. Spiritu principali confirma me. And you, whose loving wisdom forms me out of all the forces and all the hazards of the earth, grant that I may begin to sketch the outline of a gesture whose full power will only be revealed to me in the presence of the desired. What? In the presence of the forces of diminishment and death. Grant that after having desired, I may believe, and believe ardently, and above all things, in your active presence. Thanks to you, that expectation and that faith are already full of operative virtue. But how am I to set about showing you and proving to myself through some external effort that I am not one of those who say, Lord, Lord, with their lips only? I shall work together with your action, whichever forestalls me, and will do so doubly. First, to your deep inspiration, which commands me to be. I shall respond by taking great care never to stifle, nor distort, nor waste my power to love and to do. Next, to your all-embracing providence, which shows me at each moment by the day's events the next step to take and the next rung to climb. I shall respond by my care never to miss an opportunity of rising, quote, towards the level of spirit, end quote. End of italics. I'm going to celebrate with a sip of coffee. Ah, some new subscribers lately. Giving words of encouragement. I try to block those out as much as the words of criticism.
Coming from kind of a Buddhist position, I don't want to be influenced by either praise or condemnation. Is that the right word? Which is why I made a point to be an idiot right at the beginning of this episode with the monkey. Just so you know what weird things go on. There is a method to my madness, and the method is madness for madness' sake.
The life of each one of us is, as it were, woven of those two threads, the thread of inward development, through which our ideas... See, because when the episodes are good, it's when there's a natural free-flowing thing happening, which happens in a vacuum. It doesn't happen as a result of praise or condemnation, praise, you know, criticism or praise. I mean, I appreciate it on an ego level, which is the problem. I have to push that out. We had a little bit of Pymander earlier. Let's do a little more, bring in the Flynn. Let's talk about the demon that enjoys happiness a little.
As he dwells in this purity, his mind is tranquil and at ease. Suddenly a feeling of boundless joy wells up in him. There is such bliss in his mind that he cannot contain it. This is called experiencing lightness and ease, but lacking the wisdom to control it. If he understands, then there is no error. This experience does not indicate sagehood. But if he considers himself a sage, then a demon that likes happiness will enter his mind. As soon as he sees someone, he will laugh. He will sing and dance in the streets. He will say that he has already obtained unobstructed liberation. Lacking proper samadhi, he will certainly fall.
So yeah, that's the demon that enjoys happiness. All right. The life of each one of us is, as it were, the thread of inward development through which our ideas and affections and our human religious attitudes are gradually formed, and the thread of outward success by which we always find ourselves at the exact point where the whole sum of the forces of the universe meet together to work in us the effect which God desires. People always saying, oh, I love God, but do you want what God desires? Oh God, the italics are back. Oh God, that at all times you may find me as you desire me, and where you would have me be, that you may lay hold on me fully, both by the within, with a capital W, and the without, with a capital W, of myself. Grant that I may never break this double thread of my life. I mean, you know, it was fine. Like, the words were fine this time. There wasn't any, oh, the Christian is, by all rights, the most human, or anything stupid. That previous episode where is like, you know, people kind of hearing what I had to say. It was the one where I had the collie shirt. And then, you know, Telliard starts talking. It drops down a little. And then right at the point where he says, the Christian, who is by all rights the most human of men, it drops from 5% to 0%. Nobody fucking wanted, everybody was just like, fuck this, you know. Not a single person who watched that video was like, yes, yes. Every single one was like, I can't deal with it. It's too stupid. But there was nothing like that in this reading. It was actually fine. You know, I was a bit silly. But, I mean, there was some definite, like, masturbatory... never mind. Okay. So, we got a few more minutes. I was thinking I could do bibliomancy, but a special kind, where I don't even know what book we're going to flip to the random page of. That book. Ooh, what book is that? That's not a book. Well, there's a book under it, so. The Sun at the Center. Heliocentric astrology. So not where is your sun, but where is your earth? My earth is in Pisces, I think, right? If your sun is in Virgo, that basically means your earth is in Pisces, right? Oh, that's not words. That's a blank. That's interesting. This bibliomancy is leading toward a blank astrological chart in the middle of a book that's not a book because I pointed to a box of tarot cards. Maybe that means I should, instead of doing bibliomancy, I should pull a card. So I would do that. And the card is... oppression. So that has nothing to do with Catholicism. no, but Telliard Desjardins is, you know, meant to be the cool one. You know, I mean, he seems pretty cool so far. And, all right. So this one was an episode. Or was it? Was it really?